Without Fear or Favor. Written by Branch. Read by Opalsong. Part 1 of Avalanche. Kakashi had passed out on his way back to the village from his first mission as a jonin, the mission that had changed his life yet again. He'd been told, once he woke up, that Minato-sensei had used his hiraishin to get Kakashi to home and then to the hospital before the Sharingan killed him. Because, of course, that had been the problem. The Sharingan drained chakra. Normally, a critical drain would cause the Sharingan to deactivate, but Kakashi's hadn't. Hatake-kun, you must let us operate to remove it. Arakaki-sensei exhorted him, leaning over the side of his cot earnestly. You aren't an Uchiha. Your body can't handle it. It was a gift. Kakashi folded his hands over his stomach, looking up at the ceiling with his own eye. The eye Obito had given him was now under a bandage with a suppression seal written on it. Arakaki sighed and rubbed his forehead. Kakashi got that reaction from the medics a lot. There might not be a choice, you know. The Uchiha clan has heard about this, and there's a summons waiting for you as soon as you can get out of bed again. You know they won't want their bloodline talent in the hands of someone outside their clan. Kakashi didn't imagine they would, no. Just a week ago, he might well have accepted that. But Obito wouldn't have, hadn't, and so he wouldn't either. Not now, when he was all of Obito that was left. When will you release me, then? You're not going anywhere for at least 2 days. Arakaki gave him a stern look. He'd been Kakashi's attending medic before. The North Front is quiet, and you're not setting foot outside these walls until I'm sure that eye isn't going to kill you. Kakashi nodded quietly. 2 days, then. In 2 days, he would find a way to convince the Uchiha to respect Obito's will. He closed his eyes and sent himself down to sleep. The Uchiha were the village's largest clan. They'd grown beyond a single compound, even one like the sprawling Aburame or Hyuga complexes, and lived in their own district of the village. At least half of them seemed to have something they wanted to say about Kakashi's new Sharingan. Far too great risk to the boy. Can't set a precedent like this. Before you know it, the village would be stripping Uchiha bodies in the field. The graft wasn't rejected, though, so he must be compatible. Perhaps he could marry in. Kakashi sat in calm seiza, just off to the side of the clan head, Hideaki, and his heir, Fugaku. The long room nearly rang with the babble of Uchiha clan members shouting at each other, despite the high rafters and crowd of bodies. Can't control it, obviously. He actually used it within minutes of implantation. Those are some genes worth having. Conflict of interest, if he's the last of his name. Fact is, it's against our laws, and we don't dare let the village's law come before a clan's own control of its bloodline. Kakashi unfocused his eye a little, so he could watch the movement of the room as a whole. There were knots of opinion, but no consensus yet. Nothing he could target yet. He would have stifled a sigh if he hadn't spent years training such revealing expressions out of himself. Instead, he sat still and watched the play of leaf shadows on the paper screens of the outside wall, and waited some more. At last, Hideaki called out, "Enough!" over the babble. It quieted slowly, and he sat back down. "I have heard your views," he said, rather dryly, and Kakashi was amused to see a number of the Uchiha flush. Now I think I would like to hear Hatake Kakashi. piercing black eyes caught Kakashi's, and he straightened a little. "Why did you accept the Sharingan, and why do you wish to keep it?" It was Obito's dying wish. Unexpectedly, Kakashi had to stop and discipline his voice to keep huskiness out of it. He continued, as formally as he knew how, hoping that would move a noble clan, no matter how much they were acting like a class full of pre-genin right at this moment. "He bequeathed it to me to protect the things he cared for. I accepted that charge, and I will not dishonor his memory by releasing it."
"Even though you can't fully control it?"
Hideaki asked, sounding more curious than dismissive.
"You'll have to retrain all your techniques, both to use one eye and to use the Sharingan with a regular eye. You'll have a significant weakness now, too, if any enemy realizes the drain the Sharingan is on you. They have only to take away your seal."
He nodded at the eye patch Kakashi had stitched a River Under Mountain seal into while he waited out the medics.
"To incapacitate you."
"Closing the eye slows the drain," Kakashi said, keeping still and straight-backed. "Retraining will require an effort, but I believe my previous record indicates that it will not keep me out of the field for an unreasonable length of time." Hideaki was watching him like he was a puzzle. Minato-sensei had watched him like that, sometimes. His genin year.
"And what do you think Obito cared for?"
he asked at last, quietly.
"What have you dedicated yourself to protect in his place?"
Kakashi breathed freely for the first time in days. Hideaki-san understood. "The village. Our teammate, Rin." He spread a hand out toward the room. "His clan." He hesitated for a long moment, but the last answer tugged at him, and he had promised this to Obito also, even if he'd never said it out loud. Finally, Kakashi looked down at his hands and added softly, "His friends."
"Uchiha Obito was a credit to us," Hideaki said gently,
and Kakashi fiercely swallowed down the tightness of tears in his throat.
"And Hatake Kakashi," he continued, louder, speaking to the whole clan now, "has willingly taken up the responsibility to continue on that path. I say this is admirable, and that the codes of our clan must approve. Nevertheless, it is true that our laws say only members of the Uchiha may bear the Sharingan."
The listening clan members stirred, and Kakashi waited tensely to see what the price of his choice would be. Would they require a marriage? An adoption? He'd just started coming to some kind of terms with his father's legacy. He didn't want to have that covered up or taken away.
"Hatake Kakashi will be affiliated with us," Hideaki said calmly. "His name will be carried in the records of our clan. If he wishes to marry or father children outside the clan, he will require the same permissions as anyone born of our blood."
A few people looked disgruntled, the ones who had been insisting most loudly that Kakashi not be allowed to keep Obito's eye at all. But most of the room was nodding, satisfied. Kakashi, on the other hand, had seen a tiny quirk at the corners of Hideaki's lips, and was waiting for what came next.
"He will be carried in our records as one of us, but the fact remains that he was born to another line, and one that was long honored in our village. I say that, if it is his will, he may remain on the Hatake family register, rather than the Uchiha."
Kakashi couldn't help himself from drawing a long, shaky breath of relief at that, even as sharp exclamations burst out among the crowd. Hideaki raised his voice over them.
"Would you really have me take his name from him, when he clearly has been striving to do it honor? Is that the justice of our clan?"
He frowned at his gathered clan members, most of whom subsided sheepishly.
"It's decided, then."
"Unconventional," Fugaku observed softly to his father, as people started to leave, talking quietly among themselves. "Some won't think it's enough."
"You'll find you can rarely make everyone happy in any large decision,"
Hideaki returned, a bit wry.
"We do the best we can by the precepts of our clan." Kakashi didn't think Fugaku entirely agreed, but he nodded quietly and slipped out after the last murmuring clan members. That left Hideaki and Kakashi, and he looked up at, well, his new clan head, he supposed. What are my duties as an affiliate of Uchiha? He asked, wanting to offer something in return for the name Hideaki had left him. Hideaki was watching him thoughtfully again.
Learn to use what you have inherited. Fulfill Obito's last wishes. I think, if you do that, you will make a fine clan member.
His mouth quirked.
I don't think you'll need to think about marriage for some time yet, but when you're older you should consider taking a lover from the clan once or twice. We would welcome your blood. And there are traditions we keep among ourselves you might like to learn.
He stood, and Kakashi followed, smoothly.
I'll assign Kazuo to tutor you in the uses of the Sharingan.
Kakashi nodded. Yes. He hesitated, thinking, and finally finished, Tosho-sama. At least, he thought that was what Obito would have called his clan head. Hideaki's sharp, black eyes softened, and he laid a hand on Kakashi's shoulder.
Obito was a precious son of my clan, he said softly, for all that his carelessness was sometimes the great despair of his teachers. He delighted in the life around him, in all its beauty and detail. He would have been a very great shinobi, if he'd grown to pay as much attention to his duties as he did to good food and good company and the life of the village.
Kakashi didn't think it would serve anything for him to become careless. But appreciating the little bits of village life, perhaps he could do more of that, yes, in Obito's memory. He nodded again, quietly determined. Hideaki patted his shoulder.
Remember that you can call on this clan as your own now.
He left Kakashi to make his own way through the Uchiha district, freely as if he'd actually belonged there. Kakashi had always been proud, and he'd never called on the Uchiha, his second clan. But the offer had stayed with him, as a little warmth in his heart, for 17 years. For another 7 after that, it burned as one more reminder of the things he couldn't keep. In the end, though, when he had the chance to gift that belonging back to the last son of Uchiha, he decided he was glad to have had it. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/Okasoft, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! Life Lessons. Written by Branch. Read by Opalsong. Part 2 of Avalanche. Warning. Discusses aftermath of trauma. Umino Iruka loved to teach. He really did. He taught at the academy for years, and with every new class he felt again the wonder of shaping Konoha's future through his students.
There were also weeks when he needed to remind himself of this strenuously, to keep his hands from closing around their skinny little necks. All right, everyone, settle down. Kiba, tell Akamaru to let go of Ino's bag. Today we're talking about trauma care within your team.
Ah, we've done first aid already, Shikamaru grumbled, not quite under his breath.
If you graduate and take on field jobs, Idrika continued, as if he hadn't heard, there will come a time when you or one of your teammates will not be in their usual state of mind. You may have been in a fight and almost died. Your teammate may have been captured and tortured. It isn't unusual to need people you know and trust around you, after something like that.
So what, we're supposed to pack along a teddy bear?
Kiba muttered, and Naruto snickered. Iruka gave them his second-best glare, and continued when they shut up. Your textbooks list several chakra techniques that may, if you develop the control for them, be used to soothe your teammate until competent medical help is available. We will be practicing those today. There are also three pressure point techniques that are safe for novices. We will practice those tomorrow. Fortunately, the worst they could do to each other with those was fail. He made a mental note to ask Hinata not to demonstrate any more advanced techniques she might know from her clan's teaching to her classmates.
Wait a minute, you mean we have to, like, let someone touch us?
Ino protested with a look of distaste at her deskmate Choji. A wave of sniggering and blushing swept the class, and Iruka braced himself. This was exactly why he hated this unit.
That brings us to the third option discussed in this chapter, he said, commanding himself sternly not to blush. Teachers didn't blush, damn it. There will not be a practical exercise for this option, but your homework for tonight is to write 3 pages on possible signs that the third option is called for or appropriate. Some people respond to some kinds of trauma or threat with a need for sexual contact. We've already discussed, earlier this year, some differences between civilian attitudes toward sex and shinobi attitudes. Among shinobi, it is both acceptable and appropriate to offer that contact to your teammates, if you are able and willing to do so. This chapter covers some ways to determine whether one of your teammates needs that kind of contact. The dead silence that had struck the room dissolved into squeals and whispers and exclamations. Sasuke, recipient of several rather predatory looks, drew even further in on himself than usual, and Naruto was making gagging faces with Shikamaru. Iruka soldiered grimly on. Recognizing the signs is extremely important, because it is equally common for a person to desire non-sexual contact with teammates after experiencing stress or trauma. No one who cannot demonstrate their knowledge of the signs listed in your textbook will be passed for a field assignment, so pay attention to your reading and take good notes. Now. He swept them with his very best glare to silence the whispering and giggling. Everyone open your books to page 72 and start copying out the first seal. He sat down at his desk while the class settled into their usual restless order. Books open, brushes moving. Naruto, stop trying to paint Shino's jacket and work on the seal. Aww.
Sometimes moving the wrong places, but it looked like the work to fooling around ratio was about 7-3 today, which was about as good as it ever got. Ino passed a note to Sakura, and they both looked back at Sasuke and giggled, pink-cheeked. Okay, maybe 6-4. He sighed to himself. He really hated this unit. And talking about the homework tomorrow was going to be worse. Iruka didn't lift his head from his hands when the door to the teacher's room opened and closed. Uncharacteristic inattention to surroundings, his memory recited. Or unresponsiveness, especially if it appears deliberate. Iruka? Hey, are you okay? What did the little monsters do to you today? Shizuka's voice came closer and was punctuated by a papery thump.
Yeah, he said low. It's just that time of year again. That unit, you know? Oh shit, I totally lost track of time. That's this month?
Her steps went to the window, and the vertical blinds rattled across them. Ensure as much privacy as possible without obscuring exit routes.
Yeah.
Her steps came back, and the chair beside him scraped out.
Want to talk about it? Or just go get a drink?
Offer verbal contact first, along with an alternative form of communication or connection if your teammate is unwilling or unable to speak.
Irika took in a shaky breath and let it out. They don't know. They think it's funny. Just like when we do the first aid unit, and the ones who have never broken anything laugh over the session on improvising splints. And next week we have to cover torture and rape recovery. Why do we try to teach them this so early? Why did he have to go through this, trying and failing to reach them, year after year? Shizuka sighed. Sometimes I wonder too. She touched his wrist lightly. You want a hand with this? Do not attempt to answer questions. He could nearly see the letters on the page. Initial physical contact should be at a neutral location. Caution, this may be influenced by your teammate's specific experience. He put his head down on his arms and laughed, rough and helpless. You'd pass the test with flying colors, he told her, husky. So many wouldn't, not for real. Not until it was real, and that would be too late. Bad year, huh? Should I stay? She asked him gently. Or should I get that slacker Hatake in here for you? Your teammate may be unable to ask for contact. Offer several possible courses of action. Irika bit his lip. After a moment, he managed, quietly, Door two? You got it. She squeezed his shoulders as she stood. Just wait a little. And she was gone. Shizuka was a good shinobi and a good teacher, Iruka reflected. She cared. That was a hard quality to find sometimes, though he did his best to teach it to his students. It was always during this unit that he despaired of getting through to them. He knew that. He knew it was coming. And his failure hit him like this every year anyway. Yo! A warm hand fell on the back of his neck. And Irika jumped, startled out of his drifting thoughts. You look like a wreck. Who is it this year? Irika's muscles locked. Everyone knew it would be someone. He'd fail one of his students. Over his head, Kakashi sighed quietly. Come here. He put a hand under Irika's arm and levered him up out of his chair, leading him over to the battered couch tucked in the corner for emergency naps. He thumped down onto it and pulled Irika tight against his side and hooked a finger into his face mask, tugging it down. Kakashi-san, Irika said, rough, looking up at him, a little of the fear in him unwinding, letting him straighten. His old commander had always trusted him, and obviously still did. Who is it this year? Kakashi demanded quietly. Dark gaze level. Iruka swallowed. Hinata, he whispered finally. Hyuga Hinata. If she's ever taken, I don't know if there will be enough of her left to make it back. And... He bit his lip. Kakashi kneaded the back of his neck with a strong, calloused hand. And? He pressed. Sasuke. Iruka closed his eyes. I can't even say that he isn't broken already. He should be. And all the boys can think is how they want to take him down a notch. And all the girls can think is how cute he looks. And he scrubbed his hand over his face. Fuck. Kakashi smiled at that, startlingly clear without his mask. Very eloquent. He caught Irika's chin, making Irika meet his eyes. You can't do this for them, and that isn't your fault or your failure. There was no room for argument in his voice, and Iruka leaned on that, trying to believe it. I know, he said, low. I just... He broke off because Kakashi had pressed two fingers to his lips.
Enough. That was an order, and Iruka subsided. Kakashi had been his first commander after Iruka's jonin-sensei had passed him, and Iruka knew, ruefully, he'd never quite gotten over that. Kakashi knew it, too, and had no qualms about using it. I think you need some distraction, Kakashi declared. So which will it be? Do I get you drunk, or do I take you to bed? Offer several possible courses of action, Iruka's teacher memory reminded him, and he had to press his head against Kakashi's shoulder while he laughed. This wasn't exactly the textbook approach, but it worked. That was what the field always had to teach his students, and it would be no different for this. How about both? He decided. Taking shameless advantage, Kakashi tisked mournfully. It wasn't as effective when you could see the quirk to his lips. Your place, then. I'm out of booze. Speaking of taking shameless advantage, Iruka said dryly, feeling a little more himself. Kakashi smiled and tugged his face mask back up as he stood. Have to keep my reputation up. Come on. Iruka followed him out the window and over the roofs, holding on to the calm he'd regained. He'd need it for the next week. But that, as Kakashi would no doubt tell him and scold him for forgetting, was what a person's team was for. They would learn, his students. He would do what he could and life would do the rest. And they'd all live with that, however they could. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! A Time and Place. Written by Branch. Read by Opalsong. Part 3 of Avalanche. Kakashi watched Iruka making tea with tight, jerky motions, nearly stomping back and forth through his small kitchen. It didn't look at all serene to him, and Iruka hadn't even noticed that he had a visitor sitting in his window. "You need to choose your time and ground better, Iruka. I thought you knew that," he said, finally. Iruka spun, tea splashing over his wrist, shuriken suddenly in the other hand. "What are you doing here?" he demanded. Kakashi refrained from rolling his eyes. "I'm here to answer your question, because I'm a nice guy." "Nice?" Kakashi supposed he'd earned the way Iruka growled that, considering how he'd slapped Iruka down in the meeting not an hour ago. But that was no excuse for not thinking, and he straightened out of his slouch, meeting Iruka's glare. "Iruka," he said, quietly, and that was all. But the outrage slowly drained out of Iruka's expression, and he sat down heavily at his kitchen table. "My apologies, Kakashi-san," he said to his cup of tea, "for disappointing your expectations." Not, Kakashi noted wryly, for yelling at him in public, but that wasn't the part he'd really minded. "So," he leaned back against the windowsill again. "Now that you're not being insubordinate and losing control in public, let's try that again. Do you really think my team isn't ready for the exams?" "How can they be? Iruka demanded, firing right up again, waving the hand not clutching his tee. It's barely been a year. They've only had a handful of missions. How can they possibly be ready for promotion?
They're not. Kakashi's mouth quirked under his face mask as Iruka stared at him. They're not ready for promotion, but they are ready for the exams.
Iruka stared at him. You mean you're... But...
Kakashi leaned forward, hands on his knees.
Iruka, listen to me. Those three are outstanding, but they also have very serious weaknesses. The only, and I mean only time I've seen them draw together to cover each other the way a team needs to do in the field is when they're in danger of their lives. That's also when all of them advance by leaps and bounds you have to see to believe. So, you're a teacher. You tell me. What should I do to help them progress and become what they can be?
Iruka looked back at him. But, he finally whispered, looking down.
But Naruto...
Kakashi could see the fine tremors running down Iruka's arms from how tight he was holding his shoulders, and sighed. He'd been pretty sure that was the real problem, yes. As gently as he could, you knew what you were training them for, Iruka. You knew what they would be once they graduated, including Naruto.
Iruka thumped his tee down, sloshing still more over the edge, and buried his face in his hands. I'm never having children, he said, low and violent. Never.
Kakashi didn't point out that it was pretty much too late. He slid off the window and came to stand beside Iruka.
Hey.
When Iruka didn't look up, he nudged Iruka's hands aside, wrapped his hands around Iruka's chin, and lifted it. Naruto was finding himself. He's starting to move forward based on confidence instead of blind, dumb determination. And the three of them can work together. They'll look out for each other on the exam. Quieter, but firmly, the tone he knew made Iruka respond. You need to let him walk on his own now. Iruka closed his eyes, stilling under Kakashi's hand as some of the tension ran out of him.
Yes, Kakashi-san, he said, husky.
Some people, Kakashi supposed, might feel guilty about using Iruka's lingering bond to his ex-commander like this. But no shinobi ever would. It was what worked, and it was what his comrade needed. That was all that mattered.
Good.
He slid his hand down to Iruka's shoulder and gave him a brisk shake. That means you're not going to lose control in the middle of a meeting in front of the Hokage again. Are you?
Iruka flushed red and looked down, finally, it seemed, realizing exactly what he'd done.
No, Kakashi-san.
Better.
Kakashi slid one hand up to knead the nape of Iruka's neck, hard, until he gasped and tipped his head back and finally relaxed. Don't beat yourself up over it, Kakashi murmured. Family tend to do things like that when the kids are involved. Just try not to do it again.
Yes, Kakashi-san.
Iruka smiled up at him, just a little wry. Thank you.
Don't worry.
Kakashi let him go with a last squeeze of his shoulder and stepped back. The imp of mischief nipped at him, and he grinned, and let his tone turn just the slightest bit insinuating. After all, you know how I take care of my teams. He hopped out the window while Iruka was still sputtering and turning red, chuckling. That should give Iruka something to distract him from his concern for his little brother. Kakashi did, after all, take good care of his teams. The End. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! You.
and we'll laugh about it. Written by Branch. Read by Opalsong. Part 5 of Avalanche. Takes place during Chapter 7 of Half Without Another One. Sooner. The third time Naruto blew up his study room trying to separate out the fox's chakra from his own once he'd already expressed them together, Tsunade didn't even yell. She just gave him a narrow look, hands planted on her hips, and called for Iruka-sensei. Naruto kind of thought that was cheating. Iruka-sensei, when he arrived, cast an experienced eye over the smoking splinters of Naruto's work table, and crossed his arms in that immovably teachery way of his, and declared, "No sparring with Sasuke-kun until you finish this exercise, without blowing anything up." Naruto stared at him in absolute betrayal. "That's cheating!" he pointed at Iruka-sensei, outraged. "Tsunade-bachan, that's cheating! I mean, that's just mean!" "Naruto!" Iruka-sensei drew himself up, and Naruto wilted a little. "Do you think bandits or enemy shinobi are going to wait until you're not distracted? You need to learn control of the Ninetales chakra, and you need to learn how to focus on your work, even when you're worrying." "But..." Naruto mumbled at his feet. "It's Sakura-chan. I mean, what if something happens? How will we know?" Iruka-sensei stopped looming quite so much and reached out to rest a hand on his head. "Sometimes we don't know," he said, more gently. "And that's a painful thing to live with. But that's our job. That's what we are, Naruto." Naruto crossed his arms tightly. He knew that. Of course he knew that. But he'd never had to do it before. Even when Sasuke had been gone, they'd known Jiraiya was with him. Wherever Sakura was, she was all by herself. Tsunade-bachan finally pushed away from the wall where she'd been leaning and shook her head. "Go get something to eat, kid, and then you're going to come back here and do this exercise right. And then," he could totally hear the grin in her voice, "you can go out to play with Sasuke." He straightened up and glared at her. "We're not kids." She was grinning all right. "Glad to hear it. So you'll come back this afternoon and concentrate like a working shinobi, right?" Naruto grumped and huffed to himself. This was blatant entrapment, was what it was. "Okay, fine, yes." He pointed at Iruka-sensei again. "But I want ramen first." Iruka-sensei was trying to look stern, but a corner of his mouth was twitching up. "Just one bowl," he specified. "Deal!" And he would get the exercise right, Naruto resolved as he followed Iruka-sensei down the stairs of the administrative building. Because he really, really needed to see Sasuke every day and make sure he was okay. He kind of thought Sasuke felt the same way. Naruto sprang out of a tree, grinning hugely as he bore straight down on Sasuke. This time he had him. And then he squawked as a leg wrapped around his and arms snaked through his elbows, locking his knife hand. A weight that could only be Sasuke was against his back, and the illusion on the ground flickered out, and the ground itself was coming up fast, really fast. Thud! It took Naruto a few moments to get enough breath back to wheeze, "Fuck!" "You really need to work out something so you're not so vulnerable to illusion," Sasuke agreed against his shoulder.
He didn't sound nearly as winded. Of course, he had Naruto to cushion his landing.
You're not nearly as observant as...
He cut off abruptly, and Naruto lay quietly, not fighting it as Sasuke's hold tightened. When Sasuke spoke again, his voice was rougher.
Hell, neither am I, so you need to compensate. Will your shadow clones be any good for this?
Finally, he let Naruto go and pushed up to his feet.
I don't know.
Naruto wiggled his fingers and toes to make sure everything was still attached and rolled to his feet. I guess if I hid one to watch, but I'd have to yell or signal to warn myself.
Not necessarily. Kakashi-sensei spoke up from his perch on one of the training ground's huge boulders, eye fixed on his book. You haven't noticed so far, which, I must say, says a few things about the lack of organization in your brain. But shadow clones return experiences to their originator when they disperse. It's one of the reasons the technique is so dangerous.
Naruto's eyes widened. Wait, so you mean I could have had shadow clones do all my homework while I was out eating ramen and painting the monument? And no one had told him?
Kakashi-sensei actually looked up from his book, and his expression was pained.
Naruto, shadow clones are complete copies of you. They would have blown the homework off too, and if they hadn't, they still would have returned just as much boredom as you would have experienced doing the homework yourself. Multiplied.
Naruto quailed at the thought. Okay, maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Sasuke had collapsed, cross-legged in the dust, and had a hand over his face, shoulders shaking with stifled laughter.
You would totally have done it. Your face would have been great.
Oh, shut up! Naruto glared, but not too hard, because Sasuke wasn't laughing very often lately. So anyway... He folded his arms with dignity and looked back at Kakashi-sensei. If the shadow clone just disperses once it spots an illusion, then I would know?
If you were paying attention, Kakashi-sensei murmured, turning a page.
Great! Naruto produced about 20, who grinned back at him and scattered through the trees. This time, he'd definitely get Sasuke.
Sasuke was smirking. This should be interesting.
Sasuke could be a total bastard, and way too smug about using his Sharingan to set illusions on all Naruto's clones at once, so they all came back at once with nearly 24 different views of Sasuke. But he gave Naruto an ice pack for the headache afterwards, so Naruto figured he'd forgive him this time. Besides, it kept them from thinking too hard about Sakura. Naruto sat on Sasuke's bed and sulked as Sasuke packed.
Why do you have to go?
Sasuke rolled a spare mesh shirt and stuffed it into his bag.
He says it's because Hidden Stone might be researching forbidden techniques, and the team that goes in has to be both as strong and as small as possible.
So why can't I go too? Naruto grabbed Sasuke's medical kit out of his hands to double-check it himself before it was packed.
Because the elders still want to chain you to the Hokage's desk, Sasuke pointed out dryly, stowing ration bars instead.
Naruto growled as he went to rummage in Sasuke's kitchen for ingredients to make some extra warming pills. Sasuke always managed to exhaust his chakra if no one was around to watch him, and then he caught chest colds, and then he was a pain-in-the-ass patient for weeks.
They're gonna have to let me go sometime, he declared, grinding dried ginger like it had the elders' faces on it.
Sometime, probably, Sasuke agreed, checking his shuriken one by one, but not this time. They were both quiet for a few minutes. Naruto was rolling paste into pills when Sasuke said,
I'll be back in 3 weeks, even if I have to tie the old pervert up and drag him back.
Naruto cracked a grin at that mental image and relaxed a little.
Yeah, okay.
He gave Sasuke back his medical kit and met his eyes steadily.
I'll be here.
Sasuke's shoulders eased a little bit, too, and he nodded.
Sasuke, Jiraiya said, exasperated, the fifth time Sasuke circled their camp.
Sit down already. Everything's secure. Have a drink or something. You drink enough for three, let alone two. Sasuke shot back, but it was half-hearted. He knew he was more wound up than he should be. Or, at least, wound up over things that weren't their mission. Witness the way he jumped, startled, when Jiraiya's hand fell on his shoulder. Sit down, Jiraiya said firmly, pushing him down beside their tiny fire. Sakura's first status check said she was all right, and Tsunade will keep Naruto from blowing up the village while you're gone. He paused and added thoughtfully, probably. But they wouldn't tell us what her message actually said, Sasuke burst out. It's always hard to have a partner in intelligence. Jiraiya sat down beside him. We've been doing this for a long time, though, Sasuke. You aren't the first. Intelligence has learned not to lie to a shinobi's working partners. Do we still count as that? Sasuke could hear how uncertain he sounded, and bit his lip, looking away. Jiraiya's large hand rumpled his hair until he looked back around just so he could glare. Jiraiya was smiling. I've heard some of the things Kakashi says to them about the three of you. You count. Sasuke took a breath, charging himself to remember that, and that intelligence had said that Sakura's message was so far so good. Okay. Lower, he added. Thanks. Get some sleep, Jiraiya told him more gently than usual. We'll be home again soon. Until then, we have work to do. Sasuke nodded silently. Hell, maybe this trip would even take his mind off things for a while. Every now and then, not often, but now and then, Sasuke was willing to admit that his infuriating and cheerfully perverted teacher really did have a certain amount of wisdom. Today, he would admit it, because the first thing Jiraiya asked when they reached the gates of Konoha was, "Is Naruto on shift at the hospital today?" The four genin on gate duty, none of whom Sasuke knew by more than sight, looked at each other. "I don't know," the oldest said. "Oh, hey, Sasuke!" Ino popped out of the gatehouse. "You guys are back! Yeah, Naruto's up at the hospital again." "Again?" Sasuke asked, wary and frowning. What was Ino doing on the gate? She was intelligence, like Sakura. Shouldn't she be out on annoyingly incommunicando and very likely dangerous missions, too? "Yeah, again. After that first week you were gone, when he almost trashed an operating room and the Hokage made him meditate for, 4 days without stopping." Ino supplied, sauntering up to them. "Smugglers," she breathed through unmoving lips, and gave Sasuke a bright, slightly bloodthirsty smile. "So yeah, go on, you can find him there." Ah, that made more sense. Yes. Sasuke liked it when the world made sense. He should probably repay Ino for that by playing along. He smirked at her and murmured, "Have fun babysitting the gate, then." "You shut up!" Ino shot back, loud enough to bounce off the nearest buildings. "It's only for a little while, because we're short-handed." All four of the genin edged away, and she bared her teeth with self-evident satisfaction. The gleam in her eye told Sasuke that she probably would have a great deal of fun, just as soon as she caught her smuggler targets. That was right and proper, too. He breathed just a little easier as he followed Jiraiya into the village. "Go and see Naruto," Jiraiya said quietly once they were a few streets in. "I'll report what we found to Tsunade." "I'm perfectly capable of making a report like a decent professional," Sasuke bit back. "I don't doubt that." Jiraiya looked down at him, eyes dark and old. "But you need to see him, and he needs to know you're back safe." His mouth quirked up at the corners, though that didn't erase the tight lines there, and he clasped Sasuke's shoulder. More efficient this way than waiting for him to come crashing into her office in the middle of a mission report. "Go." Sasuke swallowed, feeling the shivers that were only stilled for a moment by his teacher's firm grip. He'd felt them all the way home. "Okay."
He took to the roofs to reach the hospital, flinging himself through the air as if it would sweep away his memory. It couldn't, though, and he must have been showing the fact, because as soon as he came through the hospital doors, the tall, thin medic on the desk zeroed in on him and came out, moving fast and smooth and keeping his hands where Sasuke could see them.
"Can you tell me where you're injured?" the man asked quietly.
Sasuke shook his head, every movement sharp with the trickle of potential laughter and potential screaming in his throat.
"I'm not... there's nothing. That's not it. Just, is Naruto available?"
The medic didn't look like he entirely believed Sasuke, but he just nodded and waved at a passing orderly.
"Get Naruto. Tell him there's an AFS requesting him at the front desk. No CO. IMP is basic NNS.
Sasuke twitched away from the man's hands as he was herded over to a chair. He was pretty sure that last bit had been some direction about what to do with him, but it had been directed to Naruto, he reassured himself, so he could pretty much depend on it being ignored. And it was only about 4 minutes, by his count, before Naruto burst into the waiting room like a medically scrubbed blonde whirlwind.
"Okay, so what's...
Sasuke!" Sasuke swallowed and leaned into the hands suddenly locked around his shoulders. They were bruisingly tight, but that was okay. He needed the anchor.
"Naruto."
"Sasuke?" Naruto frowned. "What the hell happened? You're not actually hurt, are you? If you're hurt and you didn't say so,
shut up, idiot,"
Sasuke ordered, relaxing into this familiarity, into the stable point of his teammate's loud impatience and concern. He lifted his hands to wrap them around Naruto's arms, staring at him.
"You'd never do it," he said quietly.
Naruto would never, ever countenance or perform or let be performed the operations he'd seen the results of up in stone. And Naruto still insisted he was going to be Hokage, and even if that didn't work out, at this rate, the idiot was looking to be Konoha's top medical ninja after Tsunade, so that was all right.
"Never do..." Naruto's question trailed off as he looked at Sasuke and his mouth tightened.
Abruptly, he pulled Sasuke against him, one hand sliding up into Sasuke's hair and pressing his head down very firmly against Naruto's shoulder.
"No," he said with bedrock surety. "I'd never do anything that would make you look like this. Never. So breathe, damn it."
Sasuke laughed instead, unsteady, fingers digging into Naruto's jacket, until Naruto thumped him on the shoulder.
"I said breathe," he barked, and the startling authority in his tone made Sasuke suck in a breath and let it out.
"Better. Keep doing that, just a little at a time, and pause. Little more. Little more. Now let it out. There." Sasuke followed Naruto's directions, and felt his lungs finally relax, and his stomach too. Apparently Naruto had been learning more than chakra manipulation. He was starting to feel a bit lightheaded, though, and asked dryly,
"Can I stop yet?"
"Well, you can't stop breathing, no." But Naruto finally let him lift his head again and examined him with a critical eye.
"Want to stick around for the end of my shift?"
Sasuke looked around the entry of Konoha's hospital, its off-white tile and alarmingly cheerful pink and yellow stripes at waist height on the walls, and the chipped edges on everything because this was, after all, the hospital of a hidden village, and shuddered. Just about the only difference was that Ishii's hospital had been more green and had slate floors. But it wouldn't happen here. It wouldn't. And Naruto wouldn't let it. And when she got back, Sakura certainly wouldn't let it. He had to remember that.
"Yeah," he finally answered, a little rough. "Yeah, that would be good."
Naruto's eyes on him were sharp for a moment, but he didn't ask.
"Okay, come on."
Sasuke followed after him, quiet and contained, watching the reassuringly normal routine of the hospital as Leaf's medics dealt with reassuringly normal spills and scrapes and training injuries.
"Not here," he reminded himself. "It won't happen here."
Maybe it was even a good thing Sakura was out on her mission right now, because otherwise she might have been the one sent to Hidden Stone, It could have been her who saw the results of one too charming medical researcher's experiments. Cared for now, as best their village could manage for however long they would live. He didn't want her to ever see something like that. Not her. Not Naruto. They shouldn't have to look horror in the face. He knew that was a stupid thing to hope. For two other working shinobi. But he still hoped they wouldn't have to. And if it did happen, the way his gut knew it might well, if it did, well, it wasn't like Sasuke hadn't seen horror before. He'd help as best he could. He breathed a little easier once he decided that. Later. Naruto trudged into Sasuke's room and slumped down over his table. It hadn't been a good day. Told you they wouldn't tell us anything more, Sasuke said, not looking up from the shuriken he was sharpening, cross-legged on the bed. It's been over 5 months, Naruto groaned. She said it might be a year. Naruto shuddered. Don't say things like that. After a moment, he sighed and added, I'm so incredibly bored. Sasuke finally sighed and put down his shuriken. You are such a baby. Okay, fine. If we go out on patrol, will you stop complaining? Naruto perked up. Patrol? Hey, yeah, they let me do that. He paused and frowned. Will they let you do that? I mean, without the Erosenin? 'Cause he's away for 2 more weeks, isn't he? Allegedly on a mission, but Naruto had seen the look on Tsunade Bachan's face when she agreed to it, and kind of figured it was another one of those research trips where Jiraiya would spend most of his time in bars and baths and definitely not come home before he had to. Sasuke smirked and fished a folded piece of paper out of his sleeve, flicking it at Naruto so it bounced off his forehead. Kakashi-sensei can come along instead. You sure? Naruto eyed his teammate with some doubt, even as his fingers worked the paper open eagerly. Kakashi-sensei's on light duty. Tsunade-bachan said so herself, and you could hear her all the way down the other end of the hall. But there it was, in black and white on paper, a 6-week rotation of short patrols for Uchiha, Uzumaki, and Hatake. Naruto grinned hugely. Finally, something to do! Something he didn't have to feel guilty over being happy about, the way he'd started to with the bone healing Tsunade had been letting him help with.
I think that, for the great Kappinin, short patrol is light duty, Sasuke said dryly. He's got a point, especially if he's out with both of us.
Naruto looked up at Sasuke for a long moment and smiled. Yeah, don't worry. I'll make sure he gets better. Sasuke looked away with a short huff.
Not like I was worried.
Naruto gave him a tolerant look. Yeah, yeah. Okay then, let's go terrorize the bushes and bandits and shit. If he couldn't take care of Sakura right now, at least the rest of his team was where he could keep an eye on them. Kakashi raised an eyebrow as Naruto crashed out of the trees, followed by 4 shadow clones carrying 2 bandits between them. At least, he assumed the pair were bandits. They were wearing enough pieced-together armor and knives for it, as far as he could tell under the coils of rope that nearly cocooned them from neck to knee. Naruto was grinning hugely. There! Now I'm ahead again! Kakashi stifled a smile behind his mask. Sasuke came back with 1 more while you were gone. The 2 of you are even. Naruto pouted indignantly. All 5 of him. And dumped the latest catch at the end of today's line. Then I'm gonna sweep the river next. I'll get lots more than him there. And he was gone. Kakashi shook his head and marked his place with a finger, regarding Naruto's most recent contribution to the safety of Konoha's roads. A man and a woman, both fairly young-looking, though that might just be their dazed expressions. He picked up a pebble and flicked it up to hit Shikamaru, napping on a branch above him, on the ankle. Shikamaru, you're the reporter for the day. Get statements from these two. Since this was, after all, nominally Shikamaru's patrol sector, best to keep the paperwork in order. He went back to his book as Shikamaru grumbled his way down the tree and slouched over to run through the formalities. Most of the bandits Naruto and Sasuke's little competition had brought in had been too shocked by the speed of their abduction to even try lying about their business before it was too late. The five ninja from other villages they'd caught so far had been sent back for interrogation to deal with. "Someone should have thought of this sooner," Genma murmured lazily from under his own tree, one ankle propped on the opposite knee. "It's doing them good to take out their worry on something productive. Doing the patrols good, too. Everyone was getting a little worn down, covering both the short and long rotations while we get back up to strength. Good to have a little break while those two take over for a bit." He accepted one of the skewers of meat and vegetables Choji had been carefully roasting for lunch and took a satisfied bite. "Mmm," Kakashi agreed around his own mouthful. "And now I see why this year's patrol commander is hanging around this sector." "I visit all sectors sooner or later," Genma grinned and licked a bit of savory sauce from the corner of his mouth. "I just take a little bit longer in Shikamaru's." He eyed the day's handful of bandits critically. "You might be moving on before I do, in fact. They haven't caught nearly as many today as they were bringing in 2 days ago. When you get to the next sector, remind whoever you send off to cover the one you're supposed to be in to relieve Hikaru and tell her where to join back up with Shikamaru." "I'll make sure," Kakashi promised. He didn't actually want to disrupt the regular schedules of the other patrols, after all. Not more than was therapeutic, at least. Not more than would keep his team from fretting themselves and everyone around them to bits. Not more than could be helped, for now. He stared at his book, unseeing, though his eyes traveled slowly over the lines. Another 2 weeks and he'd have completed his evaluation of the shinobi currently on patrol. He already had a list of a dozen or so who could be pulled off this duty without impairing their teams too badly, without showing too clearly that Leaf was raising strength to attack someone. Soon. They had the location of enough bases now to gut Hidden Sound if they had to, and Miyuhara was confident Sakura could get them the last few. Soon they would have enough people gathered to get Sakura out of Orochimaru's main base, even against resistance. He could feel the tightening of nerves that said this operation was nearing its end, approaching whatever climax it would come to. This had all been a lot easier when he was the one in the field, not his student. "Be safe," he told Sakura silently, turning another page. "Stay smart. Let me have been right to teach undercover skills to you, of all my students." As he heard the rustle of someone dragging something large through the brush again, he gave one last silent hope to the wind to carry away. Let her come home safe. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! Author's notes. Medical jargon in more than one country is characterized by a certain morbid humor and a tendency to shorten by elision or acronyms. IMP and CO come from U.S. hospitals and stand for impression of what the problem is and complaint of. AFS and NNS are original to the Narutoverse and stand for, respectively, another fucking shinobi and ninja needing sedation. In other words,
There's a typical shinobi at the front desk saying he's perfectly fine. I think he's full of it and may be about to snap, so bring the good drugs slash knockout jutsu. Actually, of course, those are translations, localizing the jargon for English speakers. The original terms are probably something like AFS equals imakushi, imahitotsu kuso shinobi, kanji and hiragana in text. Another shitty shinobi. CO, probably not shortened, since most of the words for complaint, for example, fue, are already only two syllables and two simple characters. IMP equals mei, I, as in looking at it or eyeballing it. Writing. NNS equals nichi nyu, ninja chisezai nyu nyote iru. Writing. Essentially, ninja needing sedation. Personally, I suspect there's a lot of hiragana used in ninja patient records, both to keep patients from snooping and for speed. Up on the Angel's Shoulders. Written by Branch. Read by Opal Song. Part 6 of Avalanche. Takes place just after Chapter 7 of Half Without Another One. And we'll laugh about it. Hatake Kakashi was known and feared through the five great countries and a dozen little ones. Sharingan Kakashi, the copy nin, the man who copied 1,000 jutsu. What no one seemed to remember was that Kakashi had graduated as a genin at 5, had passed his chunin exam at 6, and he had been jonin at 13, before he ever received the Sharingan. Of course, that forgetfulness was mostly his own doing. The Sharingan's greatest single use to him was not expanded perception, or the ability to copy others' techniques, or even intimidation value. Its greatest use was as camouflage. No one had to wonder why the man with 1,000 jutsu kept winning. The answer was self-evident. It was also wrong. Kakashi was not a collector of jutsu. He was a scholar of them. He rarely used what he had copied, except as a psychological ploy. Instead, he studied them, looking for patterns among them, looking for deeper answers to why one technique succeeded and another failed, looking for the weakness one could point out in another, looking for the reasons and roots of chakra itself. Right now, he was sitting on the edge of his apartment building's roof, staring into the wind and thinking about the Sharingan. Common knowledge, if a clan secret could be called such, said that the Sharingan activated under great stress or emotion. Kakashi thought he saw a much more specific pattern than that, though. Of the three activations he had seen himself, all of them had been in the field. None of them had been triggered by fear for the Uchiha's own life. No, all three had been triggered by need, an absolute driving need to protect, not themselves, but their fellows, to protect an emotional bond of great importance. Really, it was no wonder the first had offered the Uchiha guardianship of the village itself. It was a purpose wedded perfectly to the nature of their bloodline. It was almost the mandate of their clan. Always provided the bonds of the village were ones the Uchiha cared for. Some generations that worked better than others. That was the conclusion Kakashi had come to years ago, though. It wasn't what brought him up to the roof today. No, what brought him up to the wind and height, seeking perspective, was something new. Something Sasuke had brought to him earlier that day.
Kakashi-sensei.
Sasuke stood at the foot of Kakashi's tree, looking up and frowning.
You know a lot about seals, right?
Kakashi raised a brow, not the usual kind of question from Sasuke, who liked direct attacks and large explosions almost as much as Naruto did. He dropped lightly to the ground beside his student, head cocked.
Quite a bit, yes. Though I should warn you right now, I'm not going to help the three of you break into the library at the Hokage's residence, or the records room at the academy.
Sasuke gave him a faintly annoyed look, but didn't rise further to the bait. Kakashi guessed it must be serious, whatever it was. Sasuke held out a scroll.
Is there a seal on this?
Kakashi took the scroll and unwrapped its tie delicately. It was an old one, the paper dry and crackling under his fingertips.
Where is this from?
The Naka Shrine, Sasuke said quietly, eyes fixed on the scroll, and Kakashi's hands stilled for a moment. He'd only been an affiliate of the Uchiha clan, not formally adopted. He'd never taken part in most clan rituals, but he'd at least heard of a few, and the Naka Shrine was where the deepest and oldest had been held. Records from the shrine could only be clan secrets. The thing was, he'd never actually told Sasuke he was affiliated with Uchiha. As far as Sasuke knew, he was asking an outsider to unseal a clan record.
Sasuke, he said softly, what is this about?
Sasuke shifted under his eyes, fidgeting. Kakashi waited him out.
There's a record tablet there, his student finally muttered. It talks about the Sharingan. Itachi told me to find it when he left.
Sasuke swallowed hard, hands fisting for a moment. When he went on, his voice was a little ragged.
It's mounted, and the mounting is a box. There were three scrolls inside. I took them out then, but I never read them.
Probably a good decision, considering everything on your hands at the time, Kakashi murmured, when it seemed like Sasuke had run aground in his explanation.
Did something change your mind?
Jiraiya-san, Sasuke said to his feet.
He was always making me think about clan things. Really think. He half laughed. I hated it, but this last mission...
Finally he looked up, and his eyes were haunted.
I need to know everything. What if we did something like that man in Hidden Stone did? The Mangekyou Sharingan is bad enough. What if there's worse?
Kakashi rested a hand on Sasuke's shoulder.
Easy now.
He waited for his student to take a good breath and asked,
What is it about the Mangekyou Sharingan that's so bad?
The way Sasuke was talking, he didn't think it was just that Itachi used it. Sasuke chewed on his lip for a few moments. His eyes slid away again, but not before Kakashi caught a flash of shame in them.
It's awakened by killing your closest friend.
Kakashi sucked in a sharp breath. Now he understood why their last mission, and the absolute betrayal of Stone's Shinobi by one of their own researchers, had brought this back to Sasuke's mind. He spared a moment to hope, very hard, that the fact he'd never heard of the Mangekyou before Itachi returned meant that it was an aberration, that only a very few of his second clan had ever been tempted into that kind of depravity. No wonder Sasuke was so tense. All he said, though, was, All right, let's see what this scroll can tell us. He unrolled it carefully. It wasn't all that long, and he skimmed it through quickly. Warning followed dire warning about the method of waking the Mangekyou Sharingan that Sasuke had mentioned. A handful of names were listed, renegades who had taken this path and been executed for it. The death of both soul and chakra were cited as consequence of attaining the Mangekyou that way. It was all curiously vague, though, and his fingers tingled faintly with each turn he unrolled. Kakashi traced his fingers over the back of the scroll thoughtfully. I think you may be right. There's probably more information hidden in here. Well, there's always the obvious thing.
He nudged up his forehead protector and looked with his Sharingan.
I tried that, Sasuke said quietly. It didn't change anything, though.
Nothing was changing, no, but Kakashi's eye itched. Just a little, the back of the eyeball itch that he'd felt sometimes, trying to look through something that had a barrier seal on it. Or something that had a very strong genjutsu shielding it.
The curious thing about the Sharingan, you know, Kakashi said, peering closer, is that it's an extremely localized technique. No chakra touches the object of your vision unless you deliberately turn it outward. Rather, an alteration of your own chakra and eye structure changes the nature of your perception. Your own chakra control has a great deal of impact on how deeply you can perceive through the Sharingan.
Sasuke was frowning at him in puzzlement, and just a little annoyance at this recitation of the basics. And Kakashi's mouth quirked. Remind me to teach you this. He sent his hands flashing through the 43 hand seals of the focusing technique Kazuo-san, his tutor among the Uchiha, had taught him long ago, focusing his chakra pinpoint tight until his vision telescoped and the scroll's characters burned in his sight. Burned and divided, sentence lay over sentence, on the scroll, each one in the overlay continued by the one beneath it in the underlay. I learned that because my chakra isn't completely compatible with this eye, he said, jaw clenched against the disorientation of reading two layers at once. It isn't usually taught to beginners. It burns chakra faster, but it deepens your perception. He broke the technique with a short gasp, squeezing both eyes shut for a moment to clear his head. You should read that yourself, he said at last. But in short, it details all the consequences of awakening and using the Mangekyou Sharingan, none of which are pleasant. Sasuke's shoulders relaxed all at once from their tight line.
Nothing else? He asked, relieved.
Kakashi re-rolled the scroll carefully and handed it back. Nothing else. At least, it recorded no more demons in the Uchiha past. Fortunate that. The ones already mentioned were bad enough. Sasuke held the scroll in both hands, head bowed, and nodded. After a moment, though, he took a deep breath and looked up, chin set and determined, shrugging out of his demon's hold.
The technique you used. Teach it to me.
Kakashi smiled, quiet and proud behind his mask. Of course. Kakashi drew up a foot against the edge of the roof and folded his hands around his knee. He'd told Sasuke the truth. The scroll spoke of nothing but the Mangekyou and its consequences. Madness, blindness, corruption, death. But there were little turns of phrase in how those warnings were given that kept coming back to him. The scroll spoke of those consequences following the forbidden awakening. Was there, perhaps, another way? 3 times he had seen the Sharingan awakened by the need to protect an emotional bond. Not always a completely friendly bond. Indeed, in 2 out of 3 the bond had been downright adversarial. But each had been powerful and deeply meaningful. The best known way to awaken the Mangekyou Sharingan appeared to be taking just such a bond and breaking it. Madness, yes. But that pattern suggested something more to Kakashi's scholar eye. Not only madness, but conflict. The tension of opposites. In the beginning, the user killed to protect what he loved. In the end, he killed what he loved and had bloodied his hands to protect. Tension like that could tear a heart in 2. Tear it open. That, he thought, might just be the key. Any path to the Mangekyou Sharingan must tear open the heart, right down to the core, far deeper than the first awakening. That wasn't the kind of pain any sane person would court. It was, however, a pain that came to shinobi sometimes, sought for or not. It was a pain Kakashi had known himself. Could that knowing serve his village? His lips quirked as he came face to face with what he was thinking. No wonder he'd sought the roof today, and not the memorial. This wasn't a decision Obito could help him with. Obito would almost certainly have told him he was an idiot to even consider it, and that he needed to spend more time healing his poor battered heart instead of cutting it open all over again. Obito would have had a good point. But, for all his passionate attempts to keep Obito's spirit alive in his actions, Kakashi's life and heart had always been dedicated to Konoha's service, and that was what had led him to war, to Anbu, to teaching, of all things, in the end. "I've already paid this price," he murmured to the wind, to Obito's memory. "If handing over the measure I got for it will buy more strength, protection for my people, I'll do it." "Idiot," he could hear Obito chide. But the memory of his teammate smiled crookedly, the way he'd smiled at Kakashi that last day, when they'd finally worked as one. Kakashi closed his eyes and smiled back, wry. The high wind over the village kicked up in a gust for a moment, ruffling his hair and curling down the back of his neck. Kakashi bent his head, reminded of another counter in his measure, one who would surely have had his own words to say about this plan. "Yes," he agreed softly. "Your student is still as reckless as always, Minato-sensei." The wind sighed, but gently. Kakashi sat in the middle of his apartment, table and cushions pushed back against the wall, paper spread over the floor mats to hold the rings and radials of the seal he'd drawn around himself. There was another on the door, a barrier. He didn't want to be disturbed, and he didn't want any neighbors to be injured if he lost control. He could have requested one of the sealed rooms under intelligence, of course, but then he'd have had to say why. He wasn't at all sure he could explain, at least not in a way that wouldn't get him bundled off at once to whoever was doing operative evaluations this year to have his head examined. "I never claimed to be sane to begin with," he muttered to Minato-sensei's memory, as he knelt in the middle of his seal rings. He could almost see his teacher's disapproving look as he set a cloth weapons roll in front of his knees and slowly unrolled it. This one didn't protect kunai. Instead, each section held a memento. The dark ones he hid away and never looked at. Kakashi took a slow breath, closing his eyes for a moment. Today, his forehead protector, with the muffling seal stitched and etched into the underside, lay beside him. He could already feel the hum of chakra through his Sharingan, released of all its restraints. One by one, he released the restraints he normally kept on his heart as well, the light humor that hid his ferocity, the careful distance from his fellows that hid his passionate attachments, the pretty books that distracted him from the blood and shadows of his work, the cool calculation that kept at bay his wild need to act. He released them all until the core was bared, blazing free. "Love, guard, protect, whatever it takes." Slowly, flinchingly, he reached out to rest his fingers on the first memento, the knife his father had killed himself with. A faint sound forced itself out of his throat as he let himself feel the full weight of conflicting need and reality, of his hot need to protect and the cold memory of death and failure, of his father's body still and lifeless, and a pool of blood soaking into the tatami. It hurt, like steel claws in his stomach. He forced himself to touch the next one, a scrap of Obito's jacket, stained at the edge with blood. He'd cut the scrap away just before they'd left him behind, bones crushed to fragments, half his organs burst under the falling stone, eye socket empty. The empty body of a teammate who'd admired him, railed at him, challenged him, not with jutsu, but with his heart. They'd left him behind, the one who'd made him understand Minato-sensei's words, the one he could have loved if he'd only known sooner. Love, protect. They wrenched against, dead, lost. Kakashi hunched in on himself, teeth clenched as water gathered in his wide, staring eyes. One after another, he touched them and made himself remember. Rin's forehead protector, scratched and bent from the ambush that had killed her on a routine relief mission. A charred bit of wood from where Uchiha Hiyashi, the only one he'd been willing to call his clan head, had been found, surrounded by dead Cloud Nin, both his eyes pierced by his own hand. The long lock of silky black hair that Haruko, Anbu's swallow, had left him, her captain, along with her note of forgiveness, the night she'd hunted down her own cousin unflinchingly, and then walked out into the dawn and into the river to drown. An embroidered Uchiha insignia that he'd taken from the shoulder of Mai's uniform when he'd found his sometimes lover dead in the streets with the rest of the clan, guts sliced open and sprayed up against the wall beside her, laughing eyes empty and staring at the dark sky. With each memory, he fanned all the wild fire of his love and urge to protect, as if there was still something he could do. Even as he held the mementos tight and reminded himself of reality, the chill of death in their flesh when he'd found them. Finally, the last memento was under his shaking fingers. One of the marker tags from Minato Sensei's final battle. Edges torn and charred. Memory stabbed at him, of coming too late, far too late, of arriving only to see the third straightening Minato Sensei's limbs and brushing blank, staring blue eyes closed. He'd been too late, followed too slowly when the Ninetales turned away and he'd seen flickers of Minato Sensei's chakra in the distance. He'd failed to protect his teacher, his Hokage, the one he loved and had sworn in his heart to serve with his life, the one he'd needed above all to guard. Memory piled on memory, of love on love and death on death, and he clung tight to his burning need to protect over against the stony chill of failure, until they both screamed in his mind and heart, shrieked and howled with all the fire and grief that was in him, and the fragment of mind left sensible wondered if this was madness. Red darkness clouded his vision and broke. The very air stilled and brightened around him. He could see every current of it, every dust mote, every thread of wood grain and every fiber of straw, drawn to the snapping point between the two poles of need and reality. His chakra shifted and his Sharingan answered. Here was strength to serve his need, to break reality if need be. The world warped around him. The next thing Kakashi was aware of was someone banging fast and hard on his door. Kakashi? Kakashi! Open this fucking door and let me in or I'll blow it in, I swear I will. What the fuck is going on? Kakashi! Anko, of course. He tried to speak, to reassure her that everything was fine and there was no need for property damage, and only managed to cough in a very raw throat. He noticed he was flat on his back, too. Looking up at his ceiling, maybe he should get up and go to the door, where he wouldn't have to speak as loudly. Yes, that would be a good idea. Only he didn't seem to be able to move much. Kakashi frowned to himself, considering this dilemma. Kakashi! The door burst inward, barrier seal smoking and shredding under the force of Anko's kick. She stopped short just inside, eyes widening. Sweet demons, fucking, what did you do? She swooped down on him, heaving him efficiently upright, hands moving fast in an ungentle damage check. Kakashi's eyes widened as he saw the mess in the middle of his room. The paper of his containment seals was shredded, and there was a hole, or a crater, in his floor where he'd been sitting. The mementos were gone. New technique, he managed to rasp, leaning on Anko's shoulder heavily. Stronger than expected. I'd say it fucking was. Anko glared at him. Why the hell are you experimenting with new jutsu in our apartment building? And not... Abruptly she broke off, staring at him. No, at his eye. Kakashi-san, she said, low and sharp. What did you do? He grinned wryly behind his mask. clan secret. She frowned, but didn't argue. Anko had always been serious in the field. I'm getting you down to the medics. Hospital or intelligence?
Neither.
As her frown turned darker, he sighed. Shizune first. He didn't want news of this going any further than was absolutely necessary. He saw a comprehension in Anko's eyes, even though her mouth was still tight and disapproving. Fine. She propped him roughly against his table and hunted through the shredded paper until she came up with his forehead protector. Both of them eyed the end of the band that had been cut or torn away. Other end doesn't seem to be here, Anko observed flatly. Kakashi smiled. Interesting. Anko glowered at him and clapped it over his eye. Tie that, I'll be right back. In the doorway, she glanced back over her shoulder and added, quietly, You'd better know what you're doing. I don't think we can afford to lose you right now. Kakashi knotted the band clumsily as she propped his door shut behind her. His fingers were shaking. Chakra drain, he judged, feeling the chill in his extremities. Not completely incapacitating, but he was undoubtedly in for a little bed rest. Well, maybe he wouldn't argue too hard. Once Shizune and Tsunade were both done yelling at him for taking stupid risks, he figured they could all keep busy talking over this destructive or warping ability he seemed to have gained. Part of him hoped they'd take a while yelling, though, because his heart was still shaking worse than his hands. He felt wrung out, scoured, but still vibrating with an edge like a combat high. Part of him felt stricken, bruised, that those mementos had probably been destroyed. Another part of him felt settled, contented that they had been lost in this way and for this cause, as though they were a suitable price. At the same time, he felt numbed, as if he'd burned the memories out by focusing on them so hard. He still remembered. There was still pain. It was just the bloodletting edge that felt a little dulled. He didn't know whether that was a relief or a betrayal.
Was it the right thing to do, Sensei? He asked thin air softly.
In answer, the door banged open, and Tsunade herself strode through it, with Anko shadowing her. "What the hell did you do to yourself this time, brat?" she demanded, hands on her hips. The breeze from the swinging door ruffled through his hair like light fingers, and Kakashi bent his head into it for one moment, yearning with all his torn heart for the lost touch of his teacher's guidance and forgiveness. And then he looked up at his current Hokage with the most insouciant expression he could manage. Well, there was this scroll. Kakashi drifted up out of sleep to the feeling of fingers carting through his hair. That was an extremely foolish thing you just did, Minato-sensei said quietly.
Had to, Kakashi murmured. Sleepy but stubborn.
Minato-sensei's sigh was familiar. You did not have to, but I don't expect you to admit that. He could nearly hear the quirk of his teacher's mouth, not out loud at any rate. Kakashi turned on his side and curled up against Minato-sensei's knee, the same way he'd hidden from and silently apologized for reprimand so long ago. So many years since he'd done it last. Since he'd heard Minato-sensei's soft huff of amusement, or felt gentle fingers tugging on his hair in answer. So long. Wait. Kakashi slowly opened his eyes and stared up at the man sitting beside him on his hospital bed. It really was Minato-sensei. Long, pale coat, folded and crushed under his thigh, smiling a little at his shock as Kakashi leaned up on one elbow. What? He managed, raspy and harsh. Familiar blue eyes were sober. You tore your chakra, Kakashi-kun, right down to the root. The damage is echoing in both your body and spirit. Tsunade-san is wise to keep you under observation here. A small smile, quiet but bright as anyone else's laugh. It does mean you'll be far more sensitive to the presence of spirits for a time. So I took the opportunity to scold you in person.
"You're really here?" Kakashi whispered, shaky. "I'm not. I mean..." Of course, years in the field reminded him, if this was a dream or hallucination, it was perfectly capable of telling him it wasn't, so nothing was proved. In fact, he told himself sternly, bracing for the inevitable disappointment, any claim of being real should probably be taken as evidence that this was a figment of his own pain and imagination. Minato-sensei leaned back against the wall beside Kakashi's flat hospital pillow, crossing his arms. "Define really." Kakashi choked on a disbelieving laugh at that, and his teacher smiled, eyes glinting like he knew exactly what Kakashi had been thinking. "I'm as here as I've always been, and you are not exactly dreaming." That was not the answer he'd expected from a dream, no. It was definitely a Minato-sensei original. But then... "Why have you stayed?" Kakashi demanded. "How have you stayed?" None of the Hokage were enshrined. The first had forbidden it, saying that no one who dirtied his hands and conscience with the things a good village leader had to do should ever be venerated. "The Hokage monument makes a very good shintai, actually," Minato-sensei observed lightly. "There are even offerings left there, sometimes, by those who feel too soiled to stand on purified ground in the shrines. As for why..." He looked down at Kakashi, eyes level. "Do you really have to ask that?" Kakashi's eyes fell. "I suppose not," he said softly. The monument, which meant Naruto had been clamoring all over his father's actual face and painting it new and interesting colors. Kakashi wasn't sure whether that was unbearably sad or incredibly funny. "Wait, Naruto." He looked up again, sharply. "Minato-sensei, if you're still here, why haven't you spoken to Naruto?" Surely the village's host was spirit-touched enough to hear. Minato-sensei slumped a little against the wall, sighing. "I wish I could, but the Nine Tails holds more than a bit of a grudge and drowns me out whenever I come too near. Sadly," he added, "I can't even really blame him." As badly as his own heart ached tonight, Kakashi couldn't bring himself to press further against the darkness in his teacher's eyes. "I'm sorry." Minato-sensei gave him that small, true smile again, and warmth curled through Kakashi. He'd cherished that look for as long as he'd known Minato-sensei, very nearly living from smile to smile and hoarding the reassurances and approval in them. And then he'd lost them. Abruptly, his eyes were wet, and he hastily flopped down again, turning his head a little into the pillow to blot them. "Kakashi..." Minato-sensei's fingers brushed his hair again, stroking through it gently. "I haven't left you. No matter how my most bullheaded student has infuriated or terrified me over the years, I haven't left you." "I couldn't... I wasn't in time." Kakashi started into his pillow, thick and choked, and his teacher's hand closed on his nape and gave him a light shake. "Enough of that," Minato-sensei told him firmly. "It wasn't your job to save me. You didn't fail." "But..." Kakashi started, stubbornness waking again. He'd been a jonin already. Surely it had been his job to support his Hokage. And then he gasped softly as Minato-sensei's hand tightened a little, strong and warm on the back of his neck. "You did not fail." That was his Hokage's voice as well as his teacher's, and Kakashi subsided, just a little daunted, as always, by Minato-sensei's rare sternness. "Yes, Minato-sensei," he murmured, lying quiet as that insistent absolution settled into his heart. "Better." His teacher's hand was gentle again, stroking his hair. "Sleep now, Kakashi. Rest. Heal up from doing such a damn foolish thing." Kakashi's cheeks were just a little hot. "Yes, Minato-sensei." He curled back up against his teacher's knee and heard Minato-sensei's soft chuckle.
Slowly his eyes did slide close under the steady stroke of Minato-sensei's fingers through his hair. "Remember," Minato-sensei's voice said quietly as he drifted back down, "it wasn't your fault or failure. None of it was." When Kakashi opened his eyes again, it was daylight, and there was no one sitting beside him. No sign anyone ever had been. But his heart didn't hurt as much. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening. Author's notes. Looking at the scene with that record tablet, it doesn't look like there's room for much detailed information on it, even in two or three layers. I'm assuming that it's actually just the summary, what was written by the first generation to deal with the mangekyou. Other information was added later in the form of those scrolls tucked away inside / behind the tablet. A cup of sugar. Written by Branch. Read by Opalsong. Part 7 of Avalanche. Takes place between chapters 12 and 13 of Half Without Another One. I believe your promise. It's too hard to kill me. Gosh, always I feel it. The precious time be you. The sake had gone around a couple times, and they were getting to the stage of competitive gossip and confidences that might have been embarrassing later if they hadn't had a firm pact never to speak of girls' night out in the cold light of day. "So come on, Sakura!" Ino leaned forward precipitously over the table of their booth at Shushuya, while Tenten giggled and Hinata blushed. "The three of you are practically inseparable, no matter how many solo missions any of you take. It's totally the three of you together in bed, isn't it?" Sakura leaned back with a smug smile. "Of course it is." At the squeals of glee, she waved her sake cup. Not that the two left behind don't keep each other company, but it just feels best when it's all three of us. Besides, she grinned into her cup, "Sasuke's got amazing attention to detail, and Naruto is just unstoppable, and I'm a fantastic strategist. The field isn't the only place that's an advantage." More squeals. She took another sip, thoughtfully. "Though, I gotta say, I really think Sasuke was showing off on purpose when he took Naruto to bed the night I got home last time. It was a really nice view to come home to." Squeaks this time. Sakura laughed and nudged Tenten's knee. "So, what about you?" Tenten held out her cup for a refill. "We're not as, you know, committed as you three. But yeah, sometimes it's all of us." With a glint of challenge in her eye, she went Sakura one better on detail and added, "With us, it's mostly just mouths and hands, you know. Lee's got amazing fingers. You should give him a try sometime, Sakura." Everyone laughed, and Sakura toasted Tenten's score. She couldn't help asking, though, curious, "Do Lee and Neji ever..." Tenten nodded,
eyes sparkling. Sometimes. Especially if Neji thinks Lee was taking a stupid risk, and Lee keeps trying to justify it with Gai-sensei's ideas about youthful passion. Sometimes I really wonder if he does it just so Neji will snap and kiss him to shut him up. She laughed. But then, sometimes when we're back from a mission, and Lee just won't stop bouncing, Neji actually hits the pressure points to make him sleep. Her smile softened as everyone laughed. And then he puts Lee to bed. It's really sweet to see. Softly, looking down at her drink, Hinata said, Neji Nisan is a kind person. Sakura could see the speculation between Ino's faintly narrowed eyes and pursed lips. They'd both wondered a bit about Hinata and Neji lately. But what Ino actually asked was, So, is your team in bed at all, Hinata? I have to admit, the three of you never struck me that way. She gave a delicate shudder and slugged back the rest of her sake. And I know it has to work out somehow, but seriously, sleeping with an aburame? Hinata turned red as a rose. It's not, I mean, Her fingers tangled together, and she looked down at them. Hey! Sakura wrapped an arm around her. You know girls' night rules. You don't have to say if you don't want to. Hinata actually laughed, soft and breathless. Actually, it's... They hold me. She peeked up at Sakura with a tiny smile. Kind of like this. A lot. Yeah? Sakura smiled and turned towards her, drawing Hinata closer and cuddling her. Like this? Hinata blushed some more, but nodded and leaned into her, and Sakura settled her close. Ino turned a little more to face the room, leaning an elbow on the table, watching Sakura's back as casually as ever. Sakura grinned across at her. Hinata murmured unexpectedly. Shino-kun and Kiba-kun do, sometimes. She peeked up from Sakura's shoulder with a furtive sparkle in her eyes. I think Kiba-kun likes it a lot when Shino-kun holds him down. Tenten squeaked breathlessly, and Ino looked just as wide-eyed as Sakura felt. I think Hinata is winning this round, Sakura declared, and laughed when Hinata ducked back down against her, blushing deeply, but also triumphant. So, what do you say, Ino? Got anything to top that? Ino took another drink. You know, she said, more thoughtful than solicitous, Choji and Shikumaru are a little like that too. Only with them, it's all in their heads. But Choji always looks to Shikumaru, even now we're all chunin. And when Shikumaru takes him to bed, she looked down at her cup. Well, it's just really sweet. He takes really good care of Choji. She smiled wryly. When they get like that, I just go flirt with Anko-san until she tackles me onto the couch. I always learn something new from her. Sakura laughed and Hinata squeaked. Anko had taught the week of female sexual physiology for their year at the academy. I'll tell you this, though. Ino shook off her serious mood and grinned. When I am in bed with Choji, his tongue can go for hours. Everyone squealed over that, and the contest dissolved into laughter and another bottle of sake. As they were leaving, though, Sakura touched Hinata's shoulder and said softly, If this is none of my business, just tell me, but it sounded kind of like you don't really go to bed with anyone. Hinata blushed, and Sakura hurried on. And really, you can totally tell me if this is a no, but... She touched Hinata's cheek gently. Would you like it if I showed you how it goes? The easy way Hinata had cuddled into her was really making her think Hinata needed another woman to figure this out with. Hinata's eyes got very wide, and Sakura prepared to backpedal if necessary. Hinata's hands were clasped tight together again. You wouldn't mind? She whispered. Sakura had to stifle a fast flare of anger at how timidly Hinata asked that, and reached out to hug her close again. One of these days, she swore, she was going to give Hyuga Hiyashi a piece of her mind, and he wasn't going to enjoy the experience.
Of course I wouldn't mind. She cupped Hinata's face in her hands and said softly, Hinata, you're a beautiful woman. Your heart is strong enough for any two people. I truly respect all of your work, and I would be honored if you want to come home with me tonight. Hinata was flushed now, pink and shy and breathless.
I'd like that. Please, yes.
Sakura cuddled her close for another breath before managing to let her go, and took her hand. I'm glad. She kept hold of Hinata's hand as they wandered back through the evening streets, which meant Hinata was still pink-cheeked when they reached Sakura's apartment. It was really awfully cute, she thought privately, and pondered the possibilities for whacking Naruto upside the head with a clue about Hinata's crush on him. Oh, hey, she said, struck by a sudden thought as she unlocked her door. Is your clan going to panic if you don't come home? I mean, am I going to have Neji breaking down my door at 3 in the morning?
Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't break it down, Hinata answered, with every appearance of earnestness. Neji Nissan trusts your team.
Sakura paused for a breath to contemplate the implied alternatives of Neji picking her lock or possibly camping outside her window, and shook her head. The noble clans were their own thing, all right. Well, if he's still here in the morning, I suppose I'll just make breakfast for 3, she sighed, and led Hinata inside. She didn't bother to turn on the lights. There was plenty from the windows, for tonight. When she turned back in the middle of the room, though, Hinata was still hovering by the door, and Sakura reminded herself firmly that Hinata was a lot shyer than most shinobi. Most shinobi who were interested in sex to begin with, anyway. She came back and cupped a hand around Hinata's cheek, kissing her softly. Still good? Hinata nodded, pale eyes wide in the dimness. Here. Sakura eased off the soft lavender coat Hinata favored and hung it by the door. Without it, in only her mesh shirt and dark pants, with nothing hiding her full figure and sleek muscles, Hinata looked older, stronger, considerably more dangerous. Sakura paused, head tilted. Is there a need? She asked softly. To hide what you are, here in Hidden Leaf? Hinata didn't pretend she didn't understand, biting her lip and looking aside.
I suppose, not anymore. Not really. But I was also so cold for so long, it got to be a habit.
Cold, frozen out of her own family, given what Sakura knew of Hyuga politics, and she had to take a long breath for calm. It was bad enough that Hinata suffered physical effects from it. She didn't need to also be alarmed by Sakura throwing things at the wall. Maybe she'll just tell Naruto about this, and let him work on Hiyashi for a while. And then she could put in her 2 cents once the man was already pounded into the ground a little. By this point in his medical training, Naruto would know exactly what it meant that Hinata had been physically cold. That kind of effect on a shinobi's chakra was sabotage, pure and simple. She could explain that calmly and sensibly to people while Naruto was discussing the issue with Hiyashi. And then they would let Sasuke have him. That was for later, though. For now, she just gathered Hinata close, one hand rubbing slow circles over her back. As Hinata relaxed again, she smiled and bent her head to brush a soft kiss against the curve of Hinata's neck. She half expected Hinata to squeak, but instead she gasped, soft and breathy, and the sound went right down Sakura's spine to curl low and hot in her stomach. Bed? She suggested, husky. Hinata nodded. Sakura took her hands and coaxed her, step by step, across the wide room to where she'd spread her futon before going out tonight. It was easier than doing it very drunk later if it turned out to be one of those nights. The analytical corner of her mind observed that it was likely a good thing she'd acquired a taste for older-style bedding from Sasuke. She imagined it would be more familiar to Hinata, too. And it wouldn't creak the way Naruto's bed did under 2 or more. She took her time undressing and helping Hinata undress, pausing with every garment to kiss the uncovered skin. She wanted to give Hinata as much time as she needed to be comfortable, of course. She also wanted to hear more of the little sounds Hinata made. By the time she'd stripped off their underwear, she was flushed and warm herself just from listening. When she traced a line of open-mouthed kisses up Hinata's stomach and between her breasts, Hinata's soft moan made her shiver. "You're incredibly sexy, you know that, right?" she murmured against Hinata's shoulder. Hinata gasped a small laugh. "Sakura?" "It's true." Sakura leaned up on an elbow and stroked a gentle hand down the line of Hinata's body. "For starters, you're built like a work of sculptural art. But that aside..." She bent to kiss Hinata softly and nearly moaned herself at the way Hinata's lips parted for her, the little breath of sound that answered. "Just the way you are like this would make anyone hot, trust me." Hinata looked up at her, and even in the dim light she was blushing and bright-eyed. "Really?" she asked, and Sakura smiled helplessly back at the soft note of delight in her voice. "Really?" She stroked her fingertips along the curve of Hinata's breast. "Let me show you?" Hinata's nod was more confident than it had been all night, and Sakura's inner strategist made a satisfied sound. She knelt over Hinata and slid both hands up to lift her breasts gently. Just that made Hinata arch a little, and Sakura was practically purring when she traced a slow spiral over one breast with her tongue to close her mouth on the nipple. "Oh!" Hinata's hands flew up to catch Sakura's hips. Sakura answered, stroking her tongue over Hinata's nipple, feeling the tiny shivers spilling through her, listening to her breath coming quicker. She cupped the other breast and circled her thumb gently over that nipple, too. Heat curled tighter between her legs when Hinata moaned. "Sakura!" Hinata gasped. Sakura drew back slowly, sucking a little, and the sound Hinata made when Sakura's lips pulled away from her nipple made Sakura's voice husky. "Starting to feel it?" she whispered, and slid her hand slowly down Hinata's body to cup lightly between her legs. "Down here?" "Oh, yes." Hinata's eyes were half closed, lips parted. "Will you let me show you more of that?" Sakura wasn't even trying to hide the want in her own voice. She thought that was what made Hinata smile. "Yes." Sakura kissed her smile, deep and slow, sliding her tongue through Hinata's mouth as she pressed her hand more firmly between Hinata's legs, kneading just a little. "Good for increased blood flow," Anko leered cheerfully in her head, and Sakura had to shove the memory back down before she laughed. Hinata was making those breathless little sounds again, and Sakura couldn't help the husky moan she made in answer as her fingertips dipped into the wetness of Hinata's entrance. "Here," she whispered. "Just let me..." She kissed her way down Hinata's body until she could settle between Hinata's legs. "I want to taste." "Sakura!" She could almost hear Hinata blushing and rested her cheek against Hinata's thigh. "Is it okay?" she asked, fairly sure that the tinge of shock in Hinata's voice was from excitement, but this was Hinata's first time with another person. There were rules among Kunoichi about making very sure that went as well as possible. The rules were no less absolute for being unwritten. Hinata's fingers stroked shyly through her hair. "Yes, I'd like, yes." Sakura smiled. "Okay, then." She nibbled on the tendon of Hinata's thigh just to hear her gasp, and gently spread the folds of her open. She made a pleased sound herself as she dragged her tongue slowly against Hinata, soft and easy, and felt the tensed release of Hinata's muscles. "Oh." Sakura lapped slowly at her, until Hinata's hips were moving with her,
and she could taste the salt of Hinata's wetness. That was when she slid two fingers into her and purred at Hinata's low moan.
Sakura, oh, yes!
The sleek flex of Hinata's muscles made Sakura breathless herself, and she lapped firmly at Hinata's clit as she worked her fingers in and out. Hinata's hands tugged and pushed at her shoulders, and Sakura attended those cues with the concentration she'd give a new jutsu, working Hinata higher and higher until she gasped and her whole body pulled taut.
Sakura!
Sakura drove her fingers in deep and sucked on Hinata's clit, and Hinata came apart with a shudder, hips jerking against Sakura. Sakura shivered, listening to her breathless sounds and lapping at her softly until Hinata collapsed back against the bed. Sakura knew that her smile was smug as she eased her fingers free and slid back up to lie beside Hinata, but she felt that was justifiable. Hinata smiled up at her, flushed and damp and nearly glowing in the dimness.
"Thank you," she murmured.
Sakura laughed, blushing just a little herself, and kissed Hinata lightly. "It was very much my pleasure." And then her breath caught as Hinata's fingers stroked a delicate line between her breasts.
"Can I try too?"
Hinata asked, and the mixture of shyness and mischief in the way she glanced up at Sakura nearly made Sakura melt.
"Of course."
She kissed Hinata again and made a soft, pleased sound when Hinata kissed back. "I'd like that very much." As Hinata kissed her more boldly, and Sakura leaned into it with a sigh, she made a mental note to have a little talk with Neji, if Sakura and Ino's suspicions turned out to be right, just to be sure that he'd treat Hinata with all the care she deserved. Kunoichi had to look out for each other, after all. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! Iron Underwater. Written by Branch. Read by Opalsong. Part 9 of Avalanche. Set just after the end of Cloud Hands. Sparring could be a lot like sex for some shinobi, and there was no question that most ninja out dancing were more or less sparring to a beat. But this was the first time Sakura had ever seen two people dancing, sparring, or having sex so intensely without ever touching. Look at that, she murmured, leaning back against Sasuke's chest. Naruto asked, around Sasuke's earlobe.
I think she means Hinata and Neji,
Sasuke said, husky, gathering her close on the bench they were all sharing. Hinata and Neji were on the dance floor, moving around each other just a breath apart, flowing like water, like one person breathing in and out. It was the gentle fist, And yet, it really, really wasn't. Naruto's breath drew in audibly as Neji twisted his hands around Hinata's outstretched arm, skimming just above her skin, and she turned with it, sinking right down to the floor under the knot force of that move. In the next beat, she twisted fluidly on her knees and rose up again inside Neji's arms, hands pressing them open as he gave back a fraction before her palms. The way Neji's lips parted on a silent gasp as he yielded to the knot pressure of her hands and stood for one instant utterly exposed. If only Hinata had chosen to let her hand touch him. Which made Sakura swallow dryly. She could see the bone-wrenching force of those moves, but the perfect control that held them back. It made them flirtation instead of threat. "Wow," Naruto whispered, and she could feel his hand tightening against Sasuke's stomach. Neji turned to let Hinata's hands sweep past him as she stepped in. She recoiled in a long whiplash curl from his returning hand, not quite against her ribs, bending backward until her hair brushed the floor and his hand passed over her. And it was Neji's turn to give way as her arm swept up. They moved fast as the music ran, but never hurried, never touching, utterly aware of each other. As they pivoted around each other, chest to chest, their parted lips were so close, Sakura felt like she was watching them kiss. Or maybe something more intimate than that. Those pale, locked eyes were burning in the lights of the dance floor. Hinata smiled with a flash of mischief as the beat paused, and the quirk of Neji's mouth answered her. On the downbeat, she drove a palm straight for his chest, and he swirled around her, fingers striking at her back, only to be flung wide by the sweep of her arm as she spun. Every movement was unrestrained now, full force strikes thrown aside by counters that still never actually touched skin. It was as arrogant a display of power and control as Sakura had ever seen, and heat tightened her stomach as she watched them tease each other with that force, always caught back at the last second. They didn't touch until the very last, as the music faded. Hinata's hand flashed out, and Neji's arms fell to his sides at last, accepting her blow, trusting her control. Hinata's palm hovered a breath away from his chest for one last beat, and finally, softly, came to rest against him. Sasuke made a low, husky sound in Sakura's ear, and she shivered. Hinata smiled up at her cousin, soft and open, and his rare smile answered her, careless of anyone who might be watching. Neji's hand caught hers as they finally stepped apart a little, and their fingers stayed twined as they left the floor. What was that about? Sakura asked softly. I've never seen them spar together in public, much less do something like that.
Well, she's one Neji, hasn't she? Sasuke murmured. He probably wanted everyone to know it and see why.
I was right the first time. Naruto slid his arms around both of them. Nobles are weird, but that was really hot.
Sasuke laughed and leaned back against him. You thought so? He purred. Come on then, let's dance.
He flowed up to his feet, pulling them with him towards the floor, and Naruto's teeth gleamed in the lights as he followed. Sakura laughed too, as Sasuke pulled her back snug against him, and she pulled Naruto tight against her, feeling the ripple of movement slide from one to another of them. It was good, the open release of just moving together, and all the more so tonight, after watching all that passionate not-touching. She caught a glimpse of Hinata leaning in Neji's arms among the tables, hands laced possessively behind his neck, and smiled. Maybe she'd stopped worrying quite so much about Hinata. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! Not Limited by Blood. Written by Branch. Read by Obelsong. Part 10 of Avalanche. Warning: Clan endogamy may result in incesty vibes for some. Takes place when Sasuke et al. Are about 19. Sasuke stood out on one of the curving verandas that every building in Tanigakure seemed to have and wondered distantly how soon he could get out of here. He pressed his forehead against one of the veranda's smooth wooden posts and closed his eyes, breathing in the faint rising cool of the river flowing through the bottom of the valley. He wanted to be gone from this place. Not because Hidden Valley was a trial to stay in or anything. It was a pleasant village, and if the sloping sides of a deep gorge seemed like a precarious place to build a village, at least the floor and lip of the valley were thick enough with trees to make him feel at home. Not because the mission was going badly. It was going fine from what he could see. Valley's council had agreed to relax the border controls between river and fire countries, to allow larger groups of leaf shinobi across, as long as they presented proper notice of their mission at the border, instead of having to wait for approval from the village. The Master of Valley even seemed a bit charmed by Kakashi, and even her most uptight counselors seemed to approve of Sasuke. Oh yes, Sasuke knew why the Fifth had sent him along. Over half the council were members of the Yasumori clan, and Yasumori was a clan like Hyuga, like Uchiha had been, old and dignified. The longer he was here, the more Sasuke found himself falling back into old habits, found formalities coming easily to his lips, found himself reading at a glance the little indications of clan politics, of who was supporting or feuding with whom. It was exactly what Kakashi needed as he dealt with the Yasumori, so here Sasuke was. And it hurt. Every time he bowed at just that angle that said he was a son of the senior branch, every time one of the Yasumori unthinkingly cleared the way for him in response, every time he recognized the tiny grimace that said Yasumori Kojiro really wanted to disagree with Yasumori Michiru, no matter what their clan head had told them about solidarity in front of outsiders, every time he saw those things and looked by reflex for familiar eyes, eyes like his, and found only the green and hazel of Yasumori, it hurt. Maybe it would have been better if Naruto or Sakura had been along on this mission. Maybe they would have been able to remind him that he was something else now, building a new clan and not the son of an old one. Maybe that would have only made it worse. He didn't know. All he knew was that he thought he might give his soul to look into eyes like his own tonight, and the last of those in the world were both traitor and dead. Sasuke? Kakashi's voice startled him,
but he stifled a flinch, because a noble didn't show his reactions like that, and raised his head. It was starting to get dark, and his teacher was a shadow in the cool dimness under the veranda roof.
"Is there a meeting?" he asked steadily.
Kakashi's visible brow quirked just a bit. "No meeting, and it looks like that's just as well." Sasuke flushed. He should be concealing his hurt better than that.
"I'll be fine," he insisted. "It's just..."
He bit off the explanation. Kakashi came to lean silently on the veranda rail beside him, looking down over the curved roofs below them, fading away into the gorge as dusk fell. Only a few lamps had come on, yet, to retrace the outlines of the village. It was quiet here where the guest houses stood, and the soft rush of the river below blended with the murmur of people a handful of steep wooden streets away.
"It's just what?" Kakashi asked, just as Sasuke was relaxing again.
"Familiar."
It slipped out without thought, and Sasuke gave his teacher a quick glower for getting that out of him.
"I did wonder about that," Kakashi murmured, not minding the glare at all, which was just typical.
"Unfortunately, I was the only jonin free to send on this one, and you were the only noble of a senior branch free to come. At least, the only one I could trust to tell me all I need to know."
That confidence in him warmed and hurt both.
"I'll be fine," Sasuke repeated, with determination, if not quite as much surety as he'd have liked.
Sasuke stiffened at first, but the sound wasn't doubtful, just thoughtful. Of course, that wasn't any less alarming for anyone who knew Hatake Kakashi. Even knowing that, though, he wasn't prepared for Kakashi to straighten and casually push up his forehead protector, looking down at Sasuke with his Sharingan uncovered. After days on end furiously suppressing his desire for his own clan, the reminder that there was another leaf shinobi with Uchiha eyes hit Sasuke like a fist in the gut and stopped his breath just as surely.
"I wondered," Kakashi repeated quietly, and lifted a hand to rest on Sasuke's shoulder, warm and sure, just holding him.
Sasuke caught his breath again in a deep gasp, and a confusion of words and thoughts tumbled up to his lips.
Senpai, Kakashi-san.
In his heart, it was none of those, but he didn't dare say it. It would be too much. Kakashi's hand tightened, strong and reassuring, and the tangle of want in Sasuke was joined by a simpler, more familiar heat that made his breath hitch a little. He swayed forward before he caught himself, uncertain. He thought Kakashi smiled just a little behind his mask, and a thumb stroked up and down his neck gently.
"It's all right," Kakashi told him, soft as the deepening dusk. "You're my team here, Sasuke. You know I'll take care of you."
And then Sasuke just had to stand and stare, because he hooked a finger over the edge of his mask and slid it down. When they'd all been younger, his team had schemed wildly to get a glimpse of their teacher's face. As they'd gotten older, Sasuke had come to understand there was no great mystery, only an entrenched habit of concealment. And he could understand that perfectly well, and had stopped trying to get past it. And now here it was, set aside for him just as easily as this. It was the simplicity of it that let the heart-deep words slip out as Sasuke leaned closer, hands coming up to Kakashi's chest, the way he would have called any of the older cousins.
"Kakashi-nisan."
His teacher smiled, a startlingly clear curve of firm lips.
"Yes."
He tipped Sasuke's chin up and kissed him, slow and easy, watching him with that half-lidded red eye, and Sasuke's heart turned over and sped up. There were things he'd never had a chance to learn, but had still heard about. Things about how the sight of the Sharingan could be used in bed.
The way Kakashi's tongue stroked over his and swept through his mouth made him wonder if it had all been true, because before long he was clinging to his teacher's shoulders and panting for breath thanks to that slow, wet slide. The street lamp outside their guest house came on, casting the fineness of Kakashi's profile into relief as he finally drew back, making the silver of his hair shine as he tilted his head toward the door. "I think this is better carried on inside, hmm?" Sasuke swallowed and murmured husky, "Yes, Kakashi-nisan." He expected Kakashi to turn the lights on when the door closed behind him, but the room stayed fully dark, and Sasuke's eyes widened as he understood. He took a breath and activated his own Sharingan, and a flash of hope and excitement ran through him as the shapes of the room faded into his sight, dim against the shifting brightness of Kakashi. The thought of having an older clanmate again, kind of, close enough, to guide him and teach him made him shiver, hard enough that, when Kakashi held out his hands, Sasuke stumbled going to meet him. It had been so long. He was caught and pulled close against the heat of Kakashi's body, feeling it and seeing it, and when Kakashi's hand slid down his back to just the right place to support him, he knew he was being seen the same way. "Please," he whispered, and lifted his face to meet Kakashi's mouth on his. Their clothes ended up scattered across the room, a vest flung over one chair, Sasuke's shirt dropped onto the low table, Kakashi's pants kicked into the corner, and when Sasuke finally got to feel the sleek heat of Kakashi's skin against his own, he moaned. He could see every shift of response in Kakashi's chakra as his hands traced over the solid muscle of his teacher's back and shoulders, and knowing he was just as bare to Kakashi's eyes, to his Sharingan, was enough all by itself to make him hard. And it wasn't all by himself. Sasuke came up onto his toes, body arching helplessly taut as one strong hand closed between his legs, and calloused fingers stroked his cock knowingly. "Kakashi-nisan," he gasped, wanting, almost pleading, and Kakashi's fingers tightened as he caught Sasuke's mouth in another kiss, deep and hard. Kakashi lost it all in a second, coming with a strangled groan as heat wrung him out fiercely, over and over again, until he was leaning against Kakashi and gasping for breath. Now maybe we can take it a little slower, Kakashi-san murmured against his ear, and Sasuke could hear the smile in his voice, see it in the shift of his chakra. He was sure his hot blush was just as visible, and felt the vibration of his teacher's chuckle through the broad chest he rested against. "Yes, Kakashi-nisan," Sasuke managed, a little embarrassed and a little delighted with the teasing. It felt good, intimate and casual, and like clan. He let Kakashi guide him down to the bed, watching the tight, patient coil of his teacher's chakra, the focus of it. That focus was in the hands that slid down his body, slow and sure, spreading his thighs until he gasped, kneading the drawn muscles of his stomach until they relaxed into heat, cupping his ass and squeezing just once, hard enough to make him moan. He reached back, for once a little shy next to his teacher's experience, watching with the clarity of the Sharingan and the dizziness of the heat in him to see what Kakashi liked, what his chakra brightened for. He trailed his hands down Kakashi's chest to stroke lightly over his cock, and was answered by a low sound and swift downward shift of chakra. That gave him an idea, and he licked his lips. "Kakashi-nisan, can I?" He slid his fingers down the length of Kakashi's cock. After one still moment, Kakashi's fingers slid through his hair and tipped his head back for a slow kiss. "Yes," Kakashi murmured into his mouth. Kakashi's hand slid through his hair as he settled between Kakashi's legs, and Sasuke leaned into his fingers. That made the coiled lines of Kakashi's chakra ease before Sasuke even touched him, and fresh heat curled through Sasuke. If his teacher wanted to guide him in this, too. Kakashi Nisan. He rested his cheek against Kakashi's thigh, looking up at him. Will you show me? Show you? Long fingers stroked lightly through his hair again, and Kakashi's voice sounded perfectly casual, but his chakra was still flowing in tight, poised lines. How to do this for you? For one instant, Kakashi's chakra coiled even tighter, as if he hadn't expected Sasuke to see what he wanted. But then it relaxed all at once, spread out to the soft edges of acceptance. The flicker in it matched the flash of wry amusement in Kakashi's voice. Yes, I think that will do, for both of us. Kakashi's hand slid down to cup Sasuke's cheek and guide him down, and the heat in Sasuke's stomach turned heavier. He opened his mouth and slid his lips down Kakashi's cock and moaned as Kakashi's other hand wove into his hair. This was good. He gave himself up to the signs of Kakashi's hand against his head, of the long fingers wrapped around his jaw, of the flow and flare of Kakashi's chakra, moving as he was shown until the thickness of Kakashi's cock was sliding in and out of his mouth, over his tongue, slow and steady. And Kakashi was careful with him, didn't press him down too far, kept his hands gentle, even as his breath was coming faster and deeper and his chakra was falling and brightening. It was good, good to feel that, good to trust it, good to watch that sharp red eye on him in the darkness and know he was being seen by kin, by clan, close enough. And then Kakashi's hand was sliding under his chin, lifting his head. Enough, his teacher said, husky. Come here. Sasuke slid back up Kakashi's body and was caught tight against him, kissed hard as he wrapped his arms around Kakashi's broad shoulders. The room spun as Kakashi turned to them, laid him down, but that was all right, because Kakashi's chakra was steady, a stable anchor like Kakashi's weight over him. The rush of heat as strong hands slid down his thighs and caught his knees to spread him wide open. So wide, drowned his thoughts, and he moaned openly, pinned down under Kakashi's gaze. It was a satisfied sound. I thought this might do for both of us, yes. Kakashi's smile was clear. Well, since my hands are busy, why don't you get me ready, Sasuke? He teased. I think your vest is by the bed. Sasuke flailed wordlessly for his vest, and fished in the inner pockets. Knife oil, muscle salve, there it was. He slicked his fingers with gel and reached down to slide them over Kakashi, completely unable to help the soft moan when he thought about the cock in his hands sliding inside him. Knowing Kakashi, that was probably the idea. And his breath cut short again as Kakashi's eye on him sharpened. Now, Kakashi told him softly, and Sasuke grabbed for his arms, fingers closing tight as Kakashi's cock pressed against him, into him, slowly, very slowly. It's all right, Sasuke, Kakashi murmured to him as he gasped. I see you. I've got you. Shudders were running through him under Kakashi's hands. The stretch of it was hard, just on the edge of too hard, but never past it, because Kakashi was seeing him, every flicker of response in his body and chakra, and that had Sasuke making little moans of want low in his throat. The thick slide opening him just kept going. As soon as Kakashi was all the way in, he was drawing back again, smooth and slow, never pausing, fucking Sasuke so steadily that he was half out of his mind with the rush of sensation. And it just kept going. His throat was dry with panting for breath he never caught, and his legs were trembling in Kakashi's hold,
and it took him forever to even think to free one hand from their frantic grip on Kakashi's shoulders to reach down to fist around his cock. Kakashi made a husky sound at that, and thrust into him harder, and Sasuke's stroke tightened at the rush of heat. "Kakashi Nisan," he whispered, pleading. "Look at me, Sasuke," Kakashi ordered, velvety in the darkness. And Sasuke looked up to meet the intent eyes above him, caught by that familiar red, focusing his own gaze on it. And it changed, spinning into the scything wheel of Kakashi's Mangekyou Sharingan, the deepest power of the clan. Response slammed through Sasuke like a wave crashing up the shore, and he groaned as fire flashed down every nerve and wrung him fiercely until he was breathless, senseless, aware of nothing but heat and the eye that locked his gaze. His body was ringing down so hard he was barely aware of Kakashi driving into him deep and fast. But he saw the answering brightness flash through Kakashi's chakra, spilling through like a waterfall. Pleasure sang through him until he thought he might break before it peaked, and dimmed slowly with the ebb of their chakra. They were both still for a long moment before Kakashi gently eased Sasuke's legs down to the bed again and stretched out, drawing him close. Sasuke lay quietly against him, feeling completely limp and more at peace than he'd been since they took this mission. "It's true, you know." Sasuke made an inquiring sound, and Kakashi's hand came up to cradle his head against Kakashi's shoulder, careful and tender. "For the sake of Obito's gift to me, I was affiliated with the Uchiha. There was no other lawful way to respect his wishes. I never claimed anything of the clan, but the fact remains." His thumb rubbed slowly up and down the tendons of Sasuke's neck as Sasuke stiffened, mind blank. "You know who your family is now, Sasuke. But if you need clan, too, remember it's here." Sasuke wrapped his arms tight around Kakashi's chest and whispered against his shoulder, "All right." It was a shock, and yet it wasn't. He'd never suspected it was official, but Kakashi was his teacher, the one he went to when he'd found something new in the clan records, the one who understood what the Sharingan saw and did, the one who had held him and seen him tonight, the way one of his clan would have if there had been time. Sasuke let his breath out and edged closer on the bed. Kakashi relaxed too, and his lips brushed over Sasuke's forehead, and Sasuke settled into his teacher's arms as easily as he would into any of his kin's. The End. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! Old Wine. Written by Branch. Read by Opal Song. Part 11 of Avalanche. Yura yura to yuganda sora e kimi no moto e donde yuke konna ni mo chikaku ni kanjiteru futatsu no omoi.
It was over. Everything except for collecting the bodies of the attackers. Intellectually, Neji knew that was exactly why Hiroki said it. The wired exhilaration of having survived again did often unhinge people's tongues. It didn't make the silence that spread through the courtyard any less infuriating when Hiroki joked with another of the younger cousins.
Hey, it's almost too bad Neji's so good, huh? He could have moved a little slower and been clan head for real instead of just behind the scenes.
The weight of the silence spoke of years when that hadn't been a joke, however tasteless and disrespectful, and the watchful memory of those years among the adults of the clan. Hinata's mouth was a little tight, but she ordered a courier be sent to intelligence, notifying them of the attack and the bodies to be examined, with perfectly level grace. She was going to ignore it. Neji couldn't do that. He very much doubted she let him give Hiroki the trouncing he deserved for that, but Neji couldn't ignore it. And that was why he spun on his heel and strode across the courtyard to stand eye to eye with her, his clan head, his wife, the cousin he had once tried to kill. "Neji," she said softly, reaching out a comforting hand to him. He sank down to his knees before her, and slowly bowed until he could spread both hands out flat against the earth, far enough that his hair, ends still stiff with the blood of their enemies, brushed the ground at her feet. Little hisses of shock snaked around the courtyard. It was not the bow of a modern shinobi, even one of a noble clan. This was the way one claimant for the clan had surrendered to another, in the days before the seal, when cousin had fought cousin and sister had fought brother to lead the Hyuga. It was a gesture not used for generations, and then only for the loser of a succession fight to publicly acknowledge his defeat and submission to the victor.
"Neji," Hinata protested, "stand up. There's no need for something like that."
"It seems necessary for some," he answered quietly. "You're my consort, not my opponent," she said more sharply. "You have not defied me. I won't have you bowing to me like that." Neji kept his hands spread out and still under her eyes, kept his own eyes on the ground.
"There was a time when I did," he pointed out.
He could hear her inhale and imagined the flash of will in her eyes that most likely accompanied it. "Very well, then," she said, soft but clear in the absolute silence of the courtyard. "You were given a command by your clan head. Do you intend to disobey it? Stand up." Neji bowed his head lower for a moment and murmured, "Yes, Hinata-sama," before he rose to stand before her. As he'd rather expected, there was a glint in her eyes that promised trouble for whoever got in the way of her sense of right. It was one of the things he loved her for, even if he did sometimes think it made her too stubborn about realizing what the clan would and would not accept or understand. He gave her a tiny, hidden smile, a reminder. He would protect her, always, and from anything, and that included disrespect within the clan. Of course. The glint eased into exasperation.
"Honestly,"
she breathed, just between the two of them, and touched his hand softly. Neji regretted her irritation, but when he cast a glance around the courtyard, there was no doubt to be seen, no careful neutrality. A little shock in places, especially among Hiroki and his friends who were, perhaps, young and foolish enough to be surprised that Hinata truly ruled him. But there was no doubt. He turned to take his place at Hinata's shoulder, calm and blank-faced. The point had been made. The submission that, by all rights, she should have demanded of him years ago had been given, and witnessed by the clan. Neji watched as the Hyuga put their compound back to rights, and smiled faintly with satisfaction. The End. If you enjoyed this story,
please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/Opal Song. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!